Today, we're looking, kind of taking an interlude, and we're looking at, I want to look at Luke 12, if you got your Bibles open. This is an interesting little passage, only found in Luke, but because the title is What Time Is It?, this is a section called Interpreting the Times, Luke 12, 54 through 59. All right. Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. When the south wind blows, you say, oh, it's going to be hot, and it is. You hypocrites." Hypocrite means a play actor. You know, you act like one thing, but you're really another thing. "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the times and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time, this present moment? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge may turn you over to the officer, and the officer might throw you in prison." I know some of you got some stories. You've shared them. I won't share them. I'm already in enough trouble. "I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Ooh. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the fall time. We thank you for the cooling weather, and we look forward to getting rid of the smoke. You are good to us, Lord, in all times and all places. God, you are good. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, as we think about how to be more obedient and loving at this time in our lives, we pray that you give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. So again, we're taking a little quick 1 week break from our sermon series entitled The Pillars of Joy. We'll do that again next week. But I want to ask this question this morning. What time is it? What time is it? Well, it's fall kickoff for one thing. It's also 9/11, right? Again, we are sort of falling back into the autumn season. Let's see, the fair is over. The temperatures are dropping again. Great. The kids are back in school. Praise God, right? The parents are like, hallelujah. I remember those days. But please, let's not be too hasty. And please don't bring up the whole pumpkin spice thing yet. Just I don't know what that is in the fall time with some people, right? So what time is it? It's a question that we all casually ask pretty much each and every day, but have you ever thought about time as in extension, as your life in recent days? I mean, I think 9/11 is a great time to remember and to reconsider. Maybe if you haven't, perhaps it's time, because you could say, I mean, not to be a downer, but all of our time is running out, right? That's why I made that quip. You know, you can always make more money, but you can't get back time, right? You ought to be more careful with your time than your money. Does that make sense? Which reminds me of the time when the Grim Reaper showed up at Jack Johnson's house. And he said, "Jack, your time is up. I'm going to take you now." And Jack said, "Oh, no, not today. I still have things to do." Maybe we need to prioritize our things, right? To which Death said, "Nope, you're the first one on the list to die today." But Jack, being a rather clever fellow, said, "All right, I'll finish what I'm doing. Even better, I'll make you some coffee while you wait. I'll finish up what I got to do, and then we'll leave." Jack then, being a clever fellow, like I said, slipped in some sleeping pills into the coffee, and the Grim Reaper fell asleep. And then Jack erased his name from the top of the list, and he put it down at the bottom, thinking he was being clever. And then Death woke up, and he said, "Wow, my friend, I really slept well. You're such a good man, Jack. You've treated me so well today. And because of that, today I'm going to start with the start first with the last name on the list." Oh, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? I don't want to be a downer, but the reality is that our time is running out. So what time is it for you? What time is it for you? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the subject of time. I actually got out my Strong's exhaustive concordance. Hard to believe that man put that together before the age of calculators and computers. He did it longhand. Unbelievable. I counted over 800 occurrences of the word time in the Bible this week. And what I discovered is there are some really interesting nuances and even differences for a Christian understanding of time. I want to share that with you this morning, since it's time for our annual fall kickoff. So, word nerd, you know that by now. In the New Testament, there are two primary words that that talk about time. The first one you're very familiar with, right? The first idea of time in the Bible is chronos. Chronos, what's that? Chronological time, right? Time in general, the passing of time. It can also mean seasons of time. So now we are in technically the fall time, right? The fall season. For example, Paul says in Galatians 4, 4 and 5, he said, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as his sons and daughters, chronos. The second idea in the New Testament is kairos. Kairos, from which we get the idea of a crucial decision time. These are the moments in our lives, a time when we must take action, and if we don't, there will be trouble. You know those times. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in the time, in the moment of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So chronos and kairos, these are biblical examples of time with very different nuances. Again, chronos being time in general or a season of time, kairos being the right and proper decision-making times of our lives. You know, decisions have to be made over time, right? Kairos needs to be made during the course of chronos. Does this make sense? This is my idea for the day. But we mix these things up all the time. Sometimes we fail to make those crucial decisions in life at the right time, and then we get into more trouble than we probably bargained for. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Right. Kind of like the time, chronos and kairos, when God created the animal kingdom. Like, that's bad. Just roll with it. God created the animal kingdom as well as humanity. God created the dog and said this: sit at the door of your house all day and bark at anyone who passes by or tries to come in. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. But the dog said, that's a long time to be barking. How about you give me 10 years and I'll do that and then I'll give you back 10 years. And God said, okay. And then God created the monkey, and he said, I want you to entertain people. Do tricks and make them laugh. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. But the monkey said, boy, that's a long time to be entertaining people and doing tricks to make them laugh. How about you give me 10 years, and I'll give you back the other 10? And so God agreed. Then God created the cow, and he said, you must go into the field with the farmer all day long. You must suffer under the sun. You must give birth to calves and support the farmer's family with your milk. And for this, I will give you 60 years. And the cow didn't like the deal and said, that's a long time to be in the field, having calves, giving milk to the farmer's family. How about you give me 20 years, and I'll give you back 40? And so God agreed. But then God created man. He said, eat, sleep, play, marry, enjoy your life. For this, I will give you 20 years. But man, being dumb, said, only 20 years? Couldn't you give me the 40 that the cow gave you back and the 10 that the monkey gave you back and the 10 that the dog gave you back? That way, I will have 80 years to live. And God agreed, but he said, you asked for it. You asked for it. So, lesson. That's why in the first 20 years, we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. But for the next 40 years, we slave in the sun to support our families. Amen. And the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the children. And then for the last 10 years, we sit on the porch and bark at everyone who passes by. This is your life. This is time. That's chronos. But you can make some meaningful decisions in kairos is part of the idea. You know, the Bible is encouraging because people have been asking the wrong questions throughout time, I think. Making the wrong decisions, whatever time they lived in, and we continue to do that. People are like, oh, geez, people in the Bible times were really dumb. Really? You know, it used to be better back then. Really? I don't think so. Luke 12, 54 through 59, with your Bibles open. Yeah, ever notice when Jesus, on the rare occasion, seems frustrated? Pay attention. Jesus seemed frustrated by people's inability to interpret the times in which they were living, as well as their consistent tendency to confuse the differences between chronological time and decision time in their lives, right? Jesus said to the crowd, and I bet there are a whole lot of Pharisees in that crowd as well, said, when you see a cloud rising, the assumption is, when you see a cloud rising over the Mediterranean Sea, you say, it's gonna rain. Rain's coming. When you feel the south wind blowing, where is it blowing from? Egypt, hello. You say, it's gonna be hot. Well, hello, and it is. You hypocrites, Jesus said, you play actors, you say one thing, you do another thing. You dummies state the obvious, right? You know how to interpret the weather signs, the times of change on the earth, but you have no idea how to interpret this present moment, kairos. We're fine with chronos. It's the kairos that slips in and causes trouble. Do you see that over the course of chronos, you and I will be required to make kairos. We need to make decisions. If we constantly dodge, ignore, or pretend not to make important or proper decisions as they present themselves over time, we not only harm ourselves, but we harm others as well. We can actually incur the judgment of God, Jesus says. Verses 57 through 59, have a look. God calls each and every one to make right decisions, no matter how challenging or how difficult the circumstances may be, and especially in those difficult times, we have to do it God's way. Verse 58 reminds us that we've got to make crucial decisions. There will be times of critical judgments regarding things, situations that arise over time in our lives, but in our families or loved ones' lives as well. And so Jesus talks about a court of law image, right? He reinforces the topic that we've talked about many times here, reconciliation. It's a beautiful thing. Paul says as Christians, we are agents of reconciliation, especially in those critical moments, those kairos moments in life. I've had to learn this one the hard way. Paul says in Romans 12:18, insofar as it is possible and depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, sometimes, you know, there are those people, you know who they are. But insofar as it is possible with you, God will bless that, I promise you, if you obey. In those special moments of time, make decisions that will please God and promote loving your neighbors in a biblical sort of way. I was watching YouTube this week, and I don't know, I got on this strain of people making really bad decisions in court. Oh my gosh, I can't believe what some people will say and do in a court of law. I mean, thank God my dad taught me with authority, yes sir, no ma'am. But people get away, doesn't work well. Be kind, be respectful. Sometimes people end up in court because of hasty decisions. Actually, usually, right? They weren't thinking. Did you lose your mind? The answer would be yes, right? And then they find themselves on the losing side of the situation. If you lose your head, if you make foolish and improper decisions over the course of life and time, you will pay for it, right? Oh, this is fun. Can't we talk about pumpkin spice? No. Right? It's the time for fall kickoff. So here's what I want to ask. What important decisions do you need to make for you at this time of life and or your family? What kind of spiritual decisions would bring a season of joy and blessing in your life? Have you thought about that lately? Right? Remember, your sanctification, your growth in Jesus not only benefits yourself, but it benefits all the people around you. Have you thought about that? You know, I don't feel like praying. Well, I don't care if you feel like praying. Pray so that you can bless other people, or at least they don't have to deal with your surly attitude. Confession time. Pray. There are so many great spiritual opportunities and decisions that lay before you. Here at Mosaic, there it is on the thing. It's in your bulletin. Joan made a bulletin insert. You may not have been aware of some of these. We've touched on some of them. For some of you, I mean, would it be so hard to get up an hour earlier and come to Adult Ed? We have a great time on Sunday mornings. That's when we have more biblical discussions. It's a teaching time. This is preaching. There's a difference between teaching and preaching, right? A lot of times people don't always think of it that way. But we have a great teaching time. Why not come? We're going through the book of Genesis right now. And you know, when you go through books of the Bible, you don't get the luxury of skipping certain things. So we had to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah today, and Lot's daughters. I don't plan on ever preaching on that one, if you know the story. Monday mornings are a great time of Bible study, prayer, and fellowship with the guys here at 9 a.m. Maybe you'd like to be a part of that. We mentioned a ladies' study. Brenda will be leading on Tuesday evening, 6:30, a six-week series called Mama Bear Apologetics. It will help you, give you extra tools to make good decisions in life for you and your family. Tuesday mornings is ladies' prayer time. Wednesday evenings is corporate church prayer time. I mean, you know, this building is open at least 6 of the 7 days a week. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us. Thursday evenings, again, as I mentioned earlier, looking at the Beatitudes and season 2 of The Chosen, which is really excellently done. I confess, I'm not a connoisseur of many Christian movies. And you know why? Because they suck. You know, but this doesn't. This is actually really good. If you want to be part of that study, am I being harsh today? Thursday evenings before that time, we do a little stretching and breathing. I teach Chinese Qigong, which means breath work. And as we get older, have any of you noticed we are not as limber and we ache more? This will help you. If you want to be a part of that before Thursday Night Life Group, you can. Community ministry meals resume, where we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Joan mentioned OCC, our silent auction, and we're kicking into high gear with all that great ministry stuff as well. Also, we have a vital church, children's church ministry here, because the kids are our future, right? So we thankfully, you know, they're faithful people. Again, my loving and ever-forgiving wife is serving the children right now, along with Reverend Peterson, because we want to invest in the future, don't we? There are so many things going on. And we don't check off things, or some people come to me because they weren't in church for a couple weeks. I don't take notes, right? This is an opportunity for you. We don't chase people, but would any of these things be helpful to you or your family in some sort of way? You know, a lot of things are available to you in chronos, chronological time, but you have to make a decision in a moment of time, what that would look like for you, kairos, right? That's part of the idea for today. Now, you parents out there, grandparents, you all have hopes and dreams for your children and grandchildren, right? We all do, and sometimes those are realized, sometimes they aren't, because in the end of the day, at the end of time, we are all personally accountable for our own decisions, correct? Correct? Kind of like the time when an old country teen preacher had a teenage son, and it was getting to be the time when the young man should give some thought into choosing his profession, what he would do with his life. Now, like many young men of his age, they didn't know what they wanted to do, and they didn't seem very concerned about making a decision. But one day while the young man was away at school, his father decided to try an experiment. And he went into his bedroom, and he placed 4 objects on his desk, his homework desk. And they were these objects. He put a Bible, a silver dollar, a bottle of whiskey, and a Playboy magazine. I'll just hide behind the door, the preacher said to himself, and when he comes home from school today, I'll see which object he chooses, and that will tell me everything. Oh, be careful, parents. But this is what the preacher did, and he said this, if he picks up the Bible, he's going to be a preacher like me. What a blessing that would be. But if he picks up the silver dollar, that means he's going to be a businessman, and that'd be okay too. But if he picks up the bottle, he's going to be a no good drunken bum. And good Lord, what a shame that would be. And worst of all, if he picks up that dirty magazine, he's going to be a skirt chasing womanizer. And so the preacher waited anxiously. Cern heard the footsteps of his son, entered the house. He was whistling. He headed to his room. And the young man tossed his books on the bed and turned to leave the room. But then he saw the objects on the table and with great curiosity went over to inspect them. And this felt like an eternity for his poor father, the preacher. And he was momentarily elated when he picked up the Bible and he placed it under his arm. And then he picked up the silver dollar and he put it in his pocket. And then he unbottled the bottle and took a big slug while he was looking at the centerfold. And the poor preacher was so, he almost had a heart attack, and in tears he cried, Lord, have mercy. It's even worse than I thought. My son's going to run for Congress. You know it's true. Yeah, right. That's so inappropriate. No, is it? Is it? As we move to the time of communion here, as well as a great potluck, during this time of fall kickoff, what important Kairos decisions do you need to make for yourself at this time, right? Or for your family? You know, what kinds of spiritual decisions would bring a time and a season of joy and blessing into your life? After all, it is my prayer for you as your friend and as your pastor that each one of you would discern and rightly interpret the chronos moments of life as well as the Kairos moments of our brief lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the chronos, the chronological time that you give each and every one of us. For some it's longer, for some it's shorter, but it's all short in the eyes of eternity. But within the time you give us, you call us to make important decisions that will affect ourselves, as well as our families and those around us. Those are the Kairos moments. Lord, give us courage. Give us strength. Give us a fearless dauntlessness to make the right decisions, even if they're hard, so that you may be honored and that other people may be loved in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for this fall kickoff time. We thank you for this communion love feast, that time we have with that, as well as the time of fellowship with the potluck. Lord, we ask you to bless the potluck even now and the hands that have prepared the food. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.